when Jesus sent out the apostles two by two. He sent them out with no food, with no money, no supplies. We read about that last Sunday. And it may have seemed to them that he was sending them out, setting them up for failure, sending them out to do a great work with nothing to rely on. But of course, he was really teaching them the secret of success, which is to rely on him alone. This is our faith. When we have Jesus, we have everything we need. When we have the Good Shepherd, we shall not want. In today's gospel, the apostles come back and make their report to Jesus. And it turns out they have been very effective missionaries. But their success has a downside. They have attracted so many people that they can't even find time to eat. They have no way to take a break. You might think of what happens when there's a big mass with the Pope, like World Youth Day or something like that. If it's a successful event, there's more people than the organizers expected. There's crowds everywhere, and there's a lot of work. There's kind of chaos, there's traffic problems, and there's not enough restrooms, and not enough food. Success brings problems of its own, or challenges of its own. Now, the gospel today doesn't tell us that the apostles are exhausted. Maybe they're so excited about all that's happening that they don't even realize that they need to take a break. It's Jesus who comes up with the idea that they should stop for a while. He says, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." That one line teaches us a lot, doesn't it? Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. This shows us that, yes, we sometimes need to stop. We need to take a break. And it's not selfishness, it's not laziness, it's not deviation from the will of God. It's God's own idea. Jesus is the one who tells them, come aside and take a break. They weren't demanding to be given less work. Jesus told them, stop now. See, the need for rest is very important. It's built right in our nature. We need to sleep every night. That's the way God made us. If we don't get enough sleep, well, then we can't keep serving. We can't keep working. We'll fail. So part of success is to stop and rest. The need for rest is also part of our spiritual life. God tells us that one day a week, the Lord's Day, we should stop our usual routine of work and worship Him. On the seventh day, God rested, the scriptures tell us. Not because He needed to rest, but because we need to rest, and He was showing us this need, this legitimate need to rest. You notice what happens in a world without God, in the world that doesn't pay attention to God. It gets overcome with frenzied activity, just burnout busyness all the time, never stopping. No, we need God, we need rest, and those two needs go together. In fact, being here right now at the Mass is one way of responding to that need. You might not feel like you're resting here, but you are here in the presence of the Lord. You're not doing your work. You're not doing your usual routine. You're here at a place aside to be with God. Very good. So, okay, that's one of the lessons of today's gospel. Take a break. Take a rest with the Lord. Not an escape. Not an escape into dissipation and into sin. That just leaves us more exhausted. No, this is a time to be spiritually and physically restored. But the lesson about rest doesn't even seem to be the main point of today's gospel. There's more to it here. When Jesus and the apostles go off to what they expect to be a deserted place, They discover that a huge crowd has arrived there before them. So much for taking a break. Now what do they do? This is not a deserted place after all. Now, did Jesus know this was going to happen? Maybe he did. Probably he did. Maybe there was another instruction here for the exhausted apostles and for us. And that instruction is that even when we have a legitimate need for rest, even when it seems that it's God's will that we take a break, we might still be called on to serve. We might still have to go further to sacrifice for the sake of others in need. This happens actually quite often. Parents know this. It's time to stop. No, there's a need that puts demands on us and we have to respond. If we love, we have to respond. I heard last week a family talking about they took a vacation, a family vacation. It was an exhausting experience. It wasn't restful for them. But it was the parents giving the children an opportunity to have a change of pace. Anyway, what we see here in this second stage of the gospel is a glimpse of the inner life of Jesus. What really motivates him. This is what the gospel says. When he saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When we look into the heart of Jesus, what do we find? Not judgment and condemnation, not legal demands, not excessive expectations, not selfish preoccupations. No, we find merciful love, we find compassion, pity for those who suffer. We find that the Lord has the heart of a shepherd. And when he sees sheep without a shepherd, he responds to the need. He's a shepherd, he's a good shepherd. He puts the care of the sheep ahead of his own needs. In another place, Jesus says it even more strongly. He says a good shepherd not only cares for his sheep, he lays down his life for his sheep. That's the love that Jesus has for each of us. And that's also the example that he gives to each of us, so that our hearts can become more like his heart, so that we can love others as he loves us. Now, when we reflect on what Jesus is doing here, we see that, yes, he's the good shepherd. He's the very shepherd promised by the prophets. In the first reading, we heard the prophet say, the Lord said through the prophet, I'm going to shepherd my people myself. He, Jesus, is the shepherd that God had in mind all along. But he's not necessarily the shepherd that we have in mind, or that we often have in mind. Because God shepherds us not according to our standards, but according to his own standards. And we never quite get used to this. That we don't get used to it, that God simply doesn't do things the way we expect him to, or the way we want him to. He does things differently. I'm often reminded of that passage in the prophet Isaiah where the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so far are my thoughts above your thoughts and my ways above your ways. See, it seems, first of all, we know God's ways are above our ways and his thoughts are above our thoughts. He sees things differently than we do, and we understand that. But it seems that sometimes he even goes against his own thoughts. He seems to contradict himself. For example, he says, come away to a deserted place for a rest, and then they still can't rest. We might expect that Jesus, since he's the good shepherd, will feed and heal and console this huge crowd, and that's what we want him to do for us. We want him to take care of us. But look at what he does. The very first thing he does when his heart is moved with pity for the crowd is he began to teach them many things. Because that was what they really needed. That's what the sheep needed at that moment. Yes, later he's going to multiply the loaves for them. But first of all, he teaches them many things. He feeds them, as he feeds us, not with the food that we think we need, but with the food that we really need. The Word of God, the Word of truth. He feeds our souls, and he's doing it right now. We have lots of needs, we have lots of wants, we have lots of demands, we have lots of expectations, but the Lord, who is the best of shepherds, knows what is best for us, and that's what he provides. He provides rest when what we really need is rest, not more excitement, not more online information, rest. When we need the truth, he provides the truth, not fake news and lies and deceptions. He knows that what we really need is a heart of love for others. And that's what he shows us, and that's what he gives us. Today's psalm, Psalm 23, the famous Psalm of the Good Shepherd, is a great reflection of this truth, that the Lord provides what we need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't need anything else if the Lord is my shepherd. If I need green pastures, he leads me to green pastures. We always think we need green pastures. Sometimes he leads us through dark valleys. We don't think we need that, but we do. Sometimes we are in the sight of our foes, and the shepherd and the psalm says, I lay a table before them. I provide for them even when they're in danger. The point being, the shepherd, the Lord, is with us. And when he's with us, we don't need anything else. If you want to make a reflection on this, just read one more time, Psalm 23, and reflect on this truth. The Lord is our shepherd. There's nothing we shall want.